Rejoice and be glad now. Amen. Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. God will rejoice over you with gladness. God will renew you in God's love. At that time, I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you. Rejoice and be glad now. When? Now. Now, the not yet time. Now, when we still feel fear. Now, when we are still waiting. Now, yes, now. On this holy Saturday, we are called together and we are asked to linger. To linger in this moment, this now. And we are called to rejoice and be glad in it. I want to linger with you in this moment, in the now of it. I want us to linger together here in this dark and not yet time, hearing the history of our salvation. And we can linger together with the disciples, those that were also in the not yet time on this night 2,000 years ago. For them, a time of waiting and a time of transformation. But we are not there yet. We are lingering with the disciples in the not yet time. But what do any of us know of the not yet time? Having lost their teacher, their friend, and their savior to a violent death, they are left to wait. Because we know, but they do not yet know that Easter is coming. You see, in the moments right before resurrection, none of us know that resurrection is close. So we are left to imagine with them that time of being still and waiting, perhaps in fear or grief or exhaustion. But what do any of us know of that? So we linger there tonight with these disciples in a way that perhaps before this amazing and painful year, many of us have never had the opportunity to linger in quite the same way. We linger in our own dark places, in our own homes, in our places of grief or fear or exhaustion or anticipation. And in these places, we too do not yet know that resurrection is coming. How could we? And yet, even in this place, we are asked to rejoice and be glad now. This may feel like a welcomed invitation to some or others. It may feel hard. It is hard to not yet know. And it is hard to be in the not yet time. We as humans often want to skip right to the great proclamation and to linger there instead, where rejoicing and being glad comes more naturally to us. But I want to wonder with you in our lingering with these disciples on this night, what does this moment, this not yet time, have to offer us? When we get to the resurrection, when we are gathered back together, how will we have been changed? Because we will have been changed, that we do know. When we are gathered back together as God's people in this home, what will we look like as a gathered people? What will we have learned from our time of waiting? Waiting to open, waiting to be vaccinated, waiting to hug each other, waiting to take communion, waiting. What will we have learned that will make us new in the resurrection? And we must linger a bit in that question, the question of how we have been changed, because this will be the fruit of the dark times for us. without the learning from our dark times, without the transformation that happens within it, the resurrection isn't known to us in the same way. And we risk remaining hidden in fear, even when there is resurrection all around us. And we have seen the fruit of this not yet time, of this dark Lenten journey that we have been on all around us already. We have seen this past year the businesses choosing people over profit, CEOs taking little to no salary so that they can pay their employees. We have witnessed hotels opening to house the houseless, nurses and doctors and laborers taking risks to work for the common good, scientists working tirelessly to find the right vaccine. And I have seen you all continue to care for each other through this time, writing notes, making calls, reaching out in love. I've seen the Altar Guild continue to set the flowers each week, even though the church remains empty, and set the table even though communion is at a distance. I've witnessed the work of the vestry and staff to make sure the church remains active and alive during this dark time. I've seen outreach grow even deeper in their commitment to care for the most impacted among us. I have seen you flourish even in the not yet time. We can see the fruit of this not yet time now. We can see transformation. So, good people of God, how have you been changed during this time, during this highly unusual journey we have been on for over a year now? What changes have come to you that you will choose to be transformed by? What have we learned from this time that will remain with us even when somehow we are free to forget? We as a nation have had to change over this last year. We have had to be resilient and strong, courageous and caring, and we have been. We are seeing that we can rise up stronger from the ashes of death if we choose to be transformed. If we choose to let ourselves, our institutions, our families, and yes, our churches rise from the ashes. If we ourselves rise from our dead places into more just and equitable people, rather than remaining in the dark, this will be our communal resurrection. So as we will soon hear the great proclamation and light our candles from the new fire and shout together the words we all desire to hear, we will celebrate the end of our Lenten journey and the rising of our Lord and Savior. As we gather separately in our own homes or living spaces, and as we proclaim that Jesus is raised, we will ring our bells or clang our pots and pans together. Let us rejoice and be glad now, because we have been given the chance for real transformation. And indeed, that resurrection, we are made an Easter people. Resurrection is coming now. In fact, it is here, made known to us, a just and loving and transformed people. Amen.